time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Whoa, happy Thursday over there.
Happy Thursday.
Mary.
Beth.
That's right. It's still me.
It's still you. It's Thursday, and shaping up to be a interesting week, I'll say that.
Oh, it's definitely been an interesting week.
What you got over there for us?
This is called True Thanksgiving. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. That's from Luke 10:8. Hospitality is a wonderful thing. It's an expression of love and honor. A dinner invitation is an appropriate way to honor our friends and neighbors. It seems that some are only thankful to God for the provision of food and other blessings on one day each year, Thanksgiving. Others are thankful, but their thanksgiving is directed at Mother Nature or something called Providence. Thanksgiving should be perpetual, and it should be directed to our Creator. He is the one who gives us our daily bread, and shame on us if we eat our meals with an ungrateful heart. There is a way to cultivate true thanksgiving. Fast. Fast a couple of meals each week, and when you sit down to eat, the familiarity that breeds contempt won't be there. You will thank God for all your food and enjoy it all the more. The soul search. Am I always thankful to God for daily food and other blessings? Take some time today and express your thanksgiving to God. Be specific. And the prayer is, Father, never let me have a familiarity that takes any of your blessings for granted.
All righty there.
A little early for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but it's around the corner. Hey, I got something new for you.
Do tell.
Listen to this.
It's a Christian Polita Talk power verse.
That's right. I told you I was going to do it. So tonight, we're going to wrap things up with talking about why obedience to God is important. And there's been a lot of things going on this week that remind us how important obedience is. And one of my favorite verses kind of wrapping around obedience is from Deuteronomy 28:1. If you truly obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. You know, another one comes from Deuteronomy 5:33 is walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. I really like those verses. And with everything that's going on and everything that's going on around us, and, you know, obedience is just driving home this week. What you got over there?
More like disobedience.
Well, you got to get obedient.
Yep.
But hey, with some of the stuff we've got going on this week, something that has come out fairly recently, Biden has fired shots over the bow, aiming at 100 million Americans with sweeping COVID mandates. He says the unvaccinated have cost us all. Not taking into account people that have natural immunities. He's just throwing basically every Republican under the bus, pretty much.
Or even those folks that have antibodies because, lo and behold, they survived COVID.
But, you know, liberals are cheering Biden's anger, because they want us to be under a government thumb.
Well, maybe Biden should stop while he's ahead. His approval rating is at a 39% level right now.
Well, he's trying to say now that companies with 100 employees or more are going to be ordered to vaccinate workers or test them weekly.
They can't do that.
Yeah, it's not very... I'm pretty sure this one will probably end up in court.
I mean, I could understand it if somehow they were like federal contractors, maybe, that the president could mandate that to them. But to private companies, I just don't understand how that's legal.
Well, he wants to say, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. I'll tell you something else has cost everybody.
Biden?
No.
Oh.
His number one boy up there trying to run the scene, Mr. Fauci.
What was that name that we heard him called last night?
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was, Fauci the Gnome MD. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yep.
Look, folks, they're not taking into consideration anybody that has any antibodies to this or anything else. They just want everybody to you know, get shots.
You know, it's really funny because some of my coworkers are the most freaked out people. They go and get COVID tests, it seems like, every week. And I'm like, you know, if you've already had COVID, which they have, and they've been vaccinated, I'm like, then why are you freaking out about this?
The vaccination's not helping. The shot's not helping people.
Yeah, I mean,
against this variant.
I did hear that it was that most of the vaccines are only 65% effective.
Oh, and all of a sudden this Mu variant is suddenly popping up.
Mu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that just stands for a bunch of cows that... Yeah. Can be led.
What this is another blinder tactic to take your eyes off of what's going on in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And at our border.
Yep.
And everywhere else.
Which, apparently, the border is, like, open for business again.
They want...
Or still.
They want, you know, they want people to look at this so they can, you know, run up behind everything else.
Shiny object,
but
right here,
the plan for forced vaccinations doesn't include all the illegal immigrants that he let in.
Of course not.
No, it doesn't.
Because they can't find them. They don't know where they are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, his sweeping plan that could force millions, you know,
I'm going to start speaking another language.
It's left out for illegal immigrants crossing the border.
Yep. I'm going to be like, Kitna, Kitna, Katna, Krishna.
Oh, gosh. You know, it's the same. The funny thing is, with both of these stories, they're using the same exact verbiage in these stories over and over.
Yep.
You know,
there's not any new news about it. It's just people getting more and more aggravated by it.
Well, let's not forget now, more than 18% of migrant families who recently crossed the border tested positive for COVID before being released. They tested positive for COVID and were released. And another 20% of unaccompanied minors test positive for COVID.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, all of this is... It's turning into another weapon. I mean, things are being...
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, because I heard something today where they're talking about all of the research money that has gone to Wuhan.
Yep.
And that it was supported in part by the NIH, which we know who's in control of that. And the question has come up, well, actually, several questions have come up dealing with Fauci, and how we, the
the United States could possibly be putting billions of dollars into Chinese research on different, diseases, viruses, whatever, that can literally become weaponized. And even though the research is supposed to be done for us and our purposes, nobody says that they can't use it and weaponize it to hurt us. So it's kind of like we're paying to suffer at our own hands.
Yeah. And, you know, all of this stuff that's going on, I mean, it's, you know, there's so many other things going on. It's like you just said, here's a shiny object. Look over this way. No, look over this way. No, look here. You know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's turned into quite a catastrophe. And, you know, even so with what's going on in Afghanistan, have you heard about the leaders that they've put in place over there?
I've heard about some. I know that several of them were at Gitmo.
It's basically an all male, set of leadership that they've put together.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. Their value of women's very low anyway.
Well, you know, one of the lead people that basically they've set up in a role that would be equal to our director of the FBI has a $10 million bounty on his head by the FBI for terrorism.
Yeah, I believe, if I'm correct, that was one that was being held at Guantanamo Bay, mm-hmm. and was part of the 9/11 terror ring.
And he was released as part of an agreement to have that soldier released that was done under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not getting any better, but, you know, the government is already talking about how they're going to work with them, you know, accept this and work with them. I mean, I don't really know. I know what we're asking for, but I'm too, I don't want to say it.
Yeah. Well, I think as a part of an agreement that has been made that we haven't really heard much about, there were supposed to be 200 Americans, and possibly part of those were Afghan refugees that were supposed to be leaving on a commercial flight today.
Well, I did hear that the Karzani Airport was supposed to be reopening for commercial flights.
Yeah, there was one in particular today that they were letting land, and it was going to be taking 200. I mean, they said that it might not be all Americans, but they were getting them out of Kabul.
Right.
And they said that there could be some Afghan refugees in that number, because they really didn't know who had gotten onto the plane, and they wouldn't know until they landed in Qatar, which was what we used to call Qatar. So now we know how to pronounce that. And so then they were going to be debriefed in Qatar, and it was going to be determined, you know, who was American, who was an Afghani refugee, and what they were going to do with everybody.
Well, you know, what's kind of funny is that, you know, the administration is more concerned with the fact that the Taliban's new Afghan political leadership is entirely male, but rather than being almost exclusively compounded of terrorists.
Right.
And, you know, we shouldn't, and this was something even that came across on the news that said we shouldn't be surprised, even though Joe Biden and Tony Blinken have been saying for weeks, this is the quote unquote new and improved and quote unquote moderate and inclusive Taliban.
So inclusive means more terrorists or what?
Couldn't tell you.
Well, one thing that can't go without being said is that we are, and I know how this affects you, but we are coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 this weekend. And they've already been talking about this on the news, telling people that they need to be vigilant because there have been some, there's been some chatter about the possibility of there being something to happen on 9/11 again. And I have also heard that on 9/11, the Taliban has invited Russia and China to come to Afghanistan and basically party down.
Yeah. See,
of course, the United States wasn't involved and wasn't invited. And I'm like, why would we do that?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that at all. Let's just leave it right there. I'm not even, you know, there. It's bad enough that there are still Americans over there that are against their will, and people that aided us over there against their will, and they're going to be in a time over there where they're just going to be, you know, this has turned into a big parade for them.
Absolutely.
They feel like they've beat America.
Right. And, you know, I think we talked about this on another show. Maybe we didn't. Maybe we just talked about it personally. But, you know, it's kind of interesting with this push that the Biden administration has with everything going greener and leaving less of a footprint and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's been this big push about electrical vehicles and all this sort of stuff. And I'm sure that most people out there know that these vehicles are run on lithium batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, if you do have an electrical vehicle and eventually your battery dies because of the lithium, there's no way to recycle that. There's no way to deal with that where it's clean. And the second thing is Afghanistan is a country that has one of the largest deposits of lithium within its borders. And so by us giving up Afghanistan and allowing Russia and China to come in, where are y'all going to get lithium in huge quantities?
Yep. Well, you know where one of the largest deposits of lithium in the world is?
Hmm.
Afghanistan.
That's what I just said.
Yep. Yep, that's where it's coming from.
Yep, and that's what I'm saying is, I mean, they've just made it doubly hard to continue on.
Well, it's just funny that the reason why I put emphasis on that again is because look at Afghanistan and how much they're wanting to talk with China and saying we're going to work with them.
Well, yeah. I mean, if anybody's going to be doling out the electric cars, it's not going to be the United States. It's not going to be Tesla. It's not going to be Fisker. It's not going to be, you know, any hybrids that our current.
Well, all the batteries come from there anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And now it's going to be even more so where we have to deal with China for trade if anybody wants any lithium batteries.
Well, you know, all
it's a nightmare.
It is. It's a very huge nightmare with everything. You know, you got that. You got COVID. You got the things going on. You know, the country's just getting over several different storms coming through and destroying towns and cities and, you know, everything around here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess we should make mention of the fact that we were up in North Carolina in that county that got hit really badly.
Yeah.
And seeing the aftermath of that. And they're still, I mean, what's it been, like 2 weeks since that happened? Since it went through Haywood County?
Yep.
And the water is still running off. You still see, like, freshlets of water coming across the street. And a lot of the bridges that go over to people's homes and things like that have been compromised. There's trash everywhere. There's vehicles that floated down the street and have crashed into things, and they've moved them to the side. I mean, it's really bad. And of course, I haven't heard anything about FEMA going through there.
No, I haven't heard anything except how much there was a little chatter with everything going down here and things going down in, you know, Louisiana and all the lower.
Yeah, but I've heard about FEMA being down in Louisiana, but not in Haywood County.
Oh, they've been doing major setup up north, you know, up there where in an area that's mostly democratically controlled.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that I've heard North Carolina's Democrat governor even say anything about trying to aid that county.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then, you know, they talk about this infrastructure package and all this stuff. And
yeah, I heard that Schumer's still pushing that, and just you know, Manchin said maybe we should put a hold on this, and Schumer's like full steam ahead with it.
Well, now you got people like AOC coming up and saying, well, if we don't get the $3.5 trillion approved and added on to what was approved by pushing it through, then we're just going to scrap the whole thing. So
I'm down with that. Scrap the whole thing.
They're stamping their feet around there and, you know, folding up their arms and sticking out their lip and, you know, I want my way.
I'm not saying that this country doesn't need an infrastructure overhaul. In fact, it does. You know, with bridges and railroad systems and, you know, the interstates and all of that, because the interstates are covered by that too. And, you know, there are definitely some bridges that need to be evaluated. But, you know, adding a bunch of additional pork to something like that, I mean, it's really shameful. Because they're very much taking advantage of the American people, and you've got all the Democrats in Congress like rah-rahing that, and you know, it certainly is not something that, you know, we the people have said, yeah, that's, we want $3.5 trillion in an overhaul. You know, I think most Americans at this point starting to be hit more and more by, you know, taxable items, you know, gas, groceries, your utilities, everything that's starting to skyrocket. And, you know, most Americans, I mean, really, when you look at us down the line, most of us, you know, have jobs where we have to budget our money. And, you know, when we're used to paying X for this, you know, good or service that we need in order to get on with our daily lives, and now it's way outside the budget and you're having to sacrifice other things. I mean, is this really what we want as a people? I don't think so.
Nope. You know, it
but it's those major issues like that that we the people don't get to vote on, that nobody brings up and says, hey, what do you guys think about this?
Well, it's time for it to be reinstated and realized, like we've said many times before, that all of these people in the House and the Senate, those jobs are never meant to be full-time. Mm-hmm. That's not what it was set up as.
No.
And they work for us. We don't work for them.
Right. And I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, but when Congress was set up, it was supposed to be that you serve during the congressional year and you would go home when you weren't doing something.
Yep.
And you worked a real job.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. And I mean, I'm all for term limits, because it should be like everybody can serve two terms, period, the end, you're out.
Well, we've got people up there that have been there for many, many, many years.
But see, I think that's something that should be on the ballot. I don't think that should be a discussion that Congress has. I think that should be a question that's brought up to the we the people.
We the people
on the
decide ballot
and say, yeah, we do want term limits. You know, if you're a senator, you get to serve 12 years maximum.
Yep.
You know, if you're in the house, you know, you get to serve 4 years, or, well, 8 years for your term, and that's it. President stays the same. You know, I'm even all for rotating the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I could see that term being a little longer based on the fact that sometimes it takes a long time for a case to get in. You know, but certainly it should not be a, hey, once you're there, you are in like Flynn until you die.
Yep.
Because I think once you get past a certain age, you just need to retire and just, you know, let somebody else sit in on it.
Move on.
Because it's all about bringing fresh blood, new set of eyes, new ideas into everything else.
Yep. And with all the things that we're talking about that's going on bad, you want to hear a couple of good things?
I do. I love good news.
So instead of talking about defunding the police like a lot of people have been talking about,
mm-hmm.
a Kentucky church has partnered with police to help bridge the gap with communities during troubled times. So basically what they're doing is they're doing a police church partnership. And, you know, it's involving different churches and they're creating an outreach program to help with everything that's going on. Because, you know, in the climate of law enforcement now, you know, trying to make inroads in the communities, the churches can be a big answer with that.
I think that's great, but does that not start mixing church and state?
Not really, because, I mean, if these officers, you know, are trying to do something to work, like, let's say work with a church when something devastating happens,
mm-hmm.
it's much like, you know, when I was in fire and EMS, you get a bad wreck, you know, carrying stuff, toys to give to kids and things like that. In disaster times or when something bad's going on, there's nothing wrong with an outreach partnership or, you know, bringing people, even bringing an officer into the church to let the officer talk, whatever the case may be. I mm-hmm. feel like this could make some really good inroads. And I think that, you know, there are a lot more people interested in it than would be against it.
I'm sure you're right.
And, you know, to keep that good thing, I mean, I know you brought up 9/11 a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Fuke with the Let Us Worship Tour
mm-hmm.
is calling all believers to the nation's capital this Saturday, September 11th, for a National Day of Prayer.
Is that the rally that they were talking about where they're going to bring the fences back to fence off the Capitol again?
I hadn't heard about that.
There's some rally, and this may be it, but they were expecting a lot of people to come into D.C.
Yeah.
And you remember all the lovely fencing that they put up when they were afraid that everybody was going to riot after January 6th, that it was going to be wackadoo city over there? And they put it up so that people couldn't get through and get back into the Capitol and so on and so forth. Well, they're going to be doing that again.
Well,
so if you've got any big plans to go to D.C., you might want to think through that one.
Well, you know, he invited America's last four presidents to participate in this event and said Donald Trump is going to make a video appearance of it.
Well, that's awesome.
And he said, I just feel like we're in the middle of a leadership crisis in America. I think everyone would understand that. I think having the former president give an address where he calls America to pray and honor the fallen, honor the military, which I don't feel like has been done in a great way from the current administration. We need somebody of that caliber, of that level, to call America to pray, but also to give us reassurance that we're not in this thing alone.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because of the last four presidents that we've had, Donald Trump is really the only one that's ever really impressed me by talking about faith and by talking about God and wanting to be that partner with Israel and protect Israel and all of that. So, you know, I realize that a lot of people out there have issues with things that Donald Trump did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even as a woman, you know, there was all those things brought up about how he had treated women and things like that, but that was all in his past. And, you know, it's not like Donald Trump came out of the woodwork. I think, you know, if you didn't know about him having that show, The Apprentice, and see how he you know, responded to things there, and if you've been under a rock and didn't see him, just his personality, the man didn't change.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you voted for him, you kind of knew what you were getting. And so people saying that, you know, he got into the presidency and acted, you know, whatever way they think he acted or whatever. It's like, you know, those people that voted for him, we kind of knew what we were getting. And, you know, I love the fact that he wasn't a career politician. I love the fact that he was a business leader. So, you know, maybe that's what the rally is that they were talking about in D.C. because there have been many, many polls mm-hmm. lately. And there have been, you know, I mean, rumors since last year, you know, have been swirling about whether or not Donald Trump was going to run in 2024. And it's looking pretty positive.
Yep.
I mean, they've taken a lot of polls and they've said that if there was a vote today, he would be back in there.
Right. And, you know, I agree with what you were saying, and I agree with everything that he's saying here. I mean,
absolutely.
We need it. And there's also something really cool going on in Tennessee. Yeah. A nonprofit gives the local schools $1.8 million to teach the gift of Bible history.
Wow.
It's a Tennessee-based nonprofit called Bible in the Schools. And they recently presented Hamilton County Public Schools in Chattanooga with $1.8 million gift as reimbursement for its 2020-2021 countywide Bible history elective program. And for nearly 100 years, BITS has provided Bible history elective courses for public school students in Hamilton County. And the organization now reaches 29 public schools and thousands of students in grades 6 through 12. I think that is awesome.
I do too.
Yeah, it's saying the school district recorded the highest enrollment numbers for 2021 with 19,006 students in the county electing to take Bible history courses with one in four students completing a Bible course for graduation credit.
See, I think that's great because then it kind of puts everybody, you know, if it's an elective course, then mm-hmm. those parents who think that that's not appropriate, you know, not something the kids should be doing in school, which I don't understand, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
That at least that tempers that is by saying that it can be an elective so that those students who come from, you know, faith-based homes can do that if they want to.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's not like you're impinging on anybody's rights or, you know, taking away somebody's fluffy feelings about something. It's the student's choice.
Yep, and they're saying there are five courses are offered to students in middle and high school. They said sixth graders learn about creation and the flood in Genesis, while seventh grade students are taught about the wanderings in the wilderness and the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Eighth graders discover more about the life of Jesus based on the book of Luke. Students in 9th through 12th grade get an overview from the Old Testament survey. Students also learn what the Bible says about the nature of God and man, along with a biblical overview of creation, the fall, and redemption. I think that is awesome.
It is.
That's one of the best pieces I've seen, you know, of why you've got some teachers over on the West Coast that are mad and raising Cain about not being able to hang an LGBTQ, RSP, whatever.
Yeah, can we talk flag about class. That for 1 second? Because that was really interesting for those people that did not see that story. I mean, it didn't make nearly the news that it should have, but there was a teacher who, during COVID, when they were cleaning, you know, classrooms and things like that, she'd had an American.
From Missouri. This one was.
The one I'm talking about was in California.
Yeah.
And when they were cleaning the classrooms deeply after COVID started and all the kids were out of school, she had had an American flag hanging in her classroom, but they took it down so that, you know, it could be cleaned and so on and so forth. And when they came back to school, they had a pride flag in there, but she could not, quote unquote, find the American flag. So her thing was that the students could say the Pledge of Allegiance to the gay pride flag.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
That burned my biscuits.
And this one will actually make you feel a little bit better because this actually happened in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
This teacher resigns after being told to remove a pride flag and not to discuss sexuality in his classroom.
Well,
bravo to them.
Absolutely.
He's a 22-year-old.
Oh, just stop right there.
Theater teacher.
Oh, wait, I should have let you continue that part.
And he resigned after parents complained about the pride flag in the classroom. You know, it said at the beginning of the school year, I had two signs above my whiteboards that read, "In the classroom, everyone is welcome," and "LGBTQ pride flag on my bookshelf." So it also says he is an openly gay man.
Well, that explains a lot.
But I say that that doesn't have a place in school to push that on kids. You can't talk about, they don't want you to talk about God in school. He shouldn't be able to talk about that in school.
There is no reason in school to, okay. My thoughts, purely my thoughts. You shouldn't be able to discuss sexuality outside of a health class and really going at the generality of the whole thing there. And that's just for those students whose parents don't know how to approach it, and we have a population explosion with our younger people sometimes. So, yeah, I don't think you should be discussing any kind of sexuality, whether it's hetero, homo, binary, whatever. I don't think you should be discussing politics in school because that should be something that is an elective. You know, if you want to go in and I'm not talking about history. I'm talking about straight up politics where you're going Democrat, Republican, because students at a tender age don't really need to be involved in those discussions. That should be reserved for home.
Yep.
And you know, there's so many things that should be left out of you know, the school scenario.
Well, he didn't work there very long. He was hired on August 13th of 2021 and resigned September 1st, 2021.
That sounds like one job that I had.
Well, he said it appears that there's a different set of rules if you are an LGBTQ plus educator.
I don't think it's that, because I am almost certain that I had gay teachers when I was in high school, but they didn't discuss their personal life with us. And of course, we as students had enough respect for our teacher where we weren't going to be like, hey, yeah, you know, what's going on in your life? Because at that point in time, it was about, you know, what goes on in your personal life, what goes on in your bedroom is your business.
Well, I was going to go on to say that he said that there's no mention of gender identity or sexual orientation in their non-discrimination policy, and that is disconcerting enough. He said, couple that with a policy banning anything that expresses part of me in the classroom, and it makes for a hostile work environment, is what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. We'll just leave that on the shelf.
Yeah.
Right there where it is.
Yeah, we're just going to have to agree to disagree with Mr. Mann.
Yeah, I don't agree at all. So, you know, now's the time when we try to move into...
Are you going to play your little thing again?
No, this is not a power verse.
Oh.
We're just moving into the scriptural part. Maybe I need to make a little, you know. So you'll know it's like an intro. It's like a cutover.
You need one like, that's like...
Like just play like just... There you go.
Yeah. You need one that's like Michael's monologue.
No, it's not a monologue. It ain't coming from me.
Well, but I mean, it's kind of where you get up close and personal with the listeners.
Well, you know, and this is the time. I mean, this is what the show is all about. And I think, you know, I come up, oh, I got to give a shout out. You know to who?
Skylar.
That's right. We have some really, really good conversations during the day and throughout the week. And, you know, I was speaking to him the other day. I'm like, you know what? And I'm gonna pose this question to everybody listening.
Are you going to ask me for an answer?
Probably so.
Okay. I just like to be prepared.
How many hours in a week do people look at Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat?
Way, 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 way too many.
So imagine this. You have your phone. Load a Bible on your phone.
You know,
how much of the Bible do you think you could read in that time?
I wanted to do one of those apps that's, because I love James Earl Jones's voice. And I wanted to load that app that, you know, reads you the Bible verses and things like that and kind of gets you into discussion.
Yeah.
But they charge for that stuff.
Well, I'm talking about people just plugging in. Instead of reading gossip, which is most of what's on Facebook, why don't you read God?
Yeah, you can download the King James Version.
And, you know, people are all connected and plugged in. Well, how about plug into that a little bit? I think... You know, there's so much of this going on, and even part of that and being plugged in and reading the Bible and starting to understand it and delving into it is all part of obedience. And, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible has a lot to say about obedience. And in the story of the Ten Commandments, we see just how important the concept of obedience he is to God. Deuteronomy 11:26-28 sums it up like this. Obey and you will be blessed. Disobey and you will be cursed. And in the New Testament, we learn through the example of Jesus Christ that believers are called to a life of obedience. And as we discuss the obedience definition in the Bible, the general concept of obedience, both in the Old and the New Testament, relate to hearing or hearkening to a higher authority. One of the Greek terms for obedience in the Bible conveys the idea of positioning oneself under someone by submitting to their authority and command. Another Greek word for obey in the New Testament means to trust. And according to Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, successant definition of Bible obedience is to hear God's word and act accordingly. Erdman's Bible Dictionary states true hearing or obedience involves the physical hearing that inspires the hearer and a belief or trust that in turn motivates the hearer to act in accordance with the speaker's desires. Thus, biblical obedience to God means to hear, trust, submit, and surrender to God and His Word. And I want to go over some reasons why obedience to God is important. You know, one is Jesus calls us to obey. In Jesus Christ, we find the perfect model of obedience, and as his disciples, we follow Christ's example as well as his commandments. Our motivation for obedience is love. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Another reason is, obedience is an act of worship. While the Bible places a strong emphasis on obedience, it's critical to remember that believers are not just justified or made righteous by obedience. Salvation is a free gift of God, and we can do nothing to merit it. True Christian obedience flows from a heart of gratitude for the grace we have received from the Lord. And so I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him, as in Romans 12:1. Another is, God rewards obedience. And over again, we read in the Bible that God blesses and rewards obedience. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Genesis 22:18. And Jesus replied, but even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. From Luke 11:28. But just don't listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. As in James 1:22-25. Another is, obedience to God proves our love. So the books of John 1 and 2 clearly explain that obedience to God demonstrates love for God. Loving God implies following his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5:2-3. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. 2 John 6. Another way is by obedience to God demonstrates faith. When we obey God, we show our trust and faith in him. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. And those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did, as in 1 John 2:3-6. Obedience is better than sacrifice is another way. The phrase obedience is better than sacrifice has often perplexed Christians. It can only be understood from an Old Testament perspective. The law required the Israelite people to offer sacrifices to God. But those sacrifices and offerings were never intended to take the place of obedience. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen! Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. disobedience leads to sin and death. The disobedience of Adam brought sin and death into this world. And this is the basis of the term original sin. But Christ's perfect obedience restores fellowship with God for everyone who believes in him. For as by one man's, Adam's, disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's, Christ's, obedience, the many will be made righteous. Romans 5:19. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. And finally, through obedience, we experience the blessings of holy living. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. Therefore, only he could walk in sinless, perfect obedience. But we also allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from within. We grow in holiness. This is the process of sanctification, which can also be described as spiritual growth. The more we read God's Word, spend time with Jesus, and allow the Holy Spirit to change us from within, the more we grow in obedience and holiness as Christians. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all of their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteousness, regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decree. Please don't give up on me. Psalms 119, 1 through 8. And because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The last verse where it says, let us work towards complete holiness, we don't learn obedience overnight. It's a lifelong process that we pursue by making it a daily goal. And finally, how to obey God in the forms of Christian obedience. The first two forms of Christian obedience given here come from Jesus teaching about the greatest commandment of the law in Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like, you shall love your neighbor as you yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Matthew 22:36-40. So, love the Lord your God. Obedience can be to simply honor and praise God for your life and the blessings within. While this may seem obvious and easy, there are many distractions in the modern world, technology in particular, that can sidetrack us from appreciating the glory of God in our daily life. We must focus to obey the greatest commandment of Jesus and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, giving thanks to Him continually. Love your neighbor as yourself. Continuing with the teaching from Matthew 22, our next example of obedience is to love your neighbor as yourself. In order to love our neighbor, friends, and even family, we must forgive them for their trespasses against us. As the Lord's Prayer says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew 6:14 tells us, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Because humans are imperfect, trespasses against us will occur, so it is vital to forgive in order to love our neighbor. Obeying God means putting His commandments above our egoic desires to hold resentment towards others, forgive and let go of anger, and prayer. Prayer, the Bible literally teaches us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to live by faith means to live by prayer, commonly going to God in supplication and thanksgiving. If you feel that you are struggling with understanding or practicing obedience, pray for guidance and inspiration. Moreover, prayer itself is a form of obedience, as Scripture says, to humble ourselves and pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. And here's a little bonus for you. Read the Bible. Scripture is the Word of God and a magnificent source of wisdom and encouragement. To know and obey the commandments of God, look to the Bible for inspiration. In your devotion to obedience, may God bless you with love, peace, and faith in that. You know, every week we talk about how important your personal relationship with God is. And in having that, we also have talked many, many times about being born again. For the Bible says if a person is born only once of their mother, they're going to die two deaths. They're going to die an earthly death, and they're going to die a spiritual death. But if a person has been born again, meaning accepting Christ, you're going to die an earthly death, but reign with the Lord forever. And we explain this every week too, how to get to salvation. You know, admitting you're a sinner and being willing to turn from your sin. And this is what the word repent means. And believing that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for your sin. And you must pray, invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed this prayer, it's not something that you have to do in a room full of people. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. It's about your relationship with God. And it's a simple prayer. You can say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're now born again. You know, get a Bible, start reading. You have to start at the beginning to understand the end. You can't just go to the book of Revelation. You need to understand everything in between as well. You've been pretty quiet over there.
I'm so sorry. I was listening.
Listening. I hope there were a lot of people listening tonight because there's a lot of things that are going on in this world and there's a lot of things about obedience and how obedience and faith all run in the same circle. And, you know, accepting Christ as your Savior, you know, getting plugged into that getting into the Word, reading, understanding more is a great thing. What you got over there to say?
I agree.
You agree. She's quiet tonight, folks.
I hadn't been feeling good today.
Yeah, I know. But always we look forward to Thursday nights, or at least I do. I'll say I do.
I do too. You can speak for me on that.
But we really appreciate, you know, you spending your time with us, listening to us either live or listening on the podcast. You know, for those who want to delve in a little bit deeper about your salvation and what it really means, we did an entire series on Romans that's, you know, in our podcast. We also did an entire series on Revelation, which is in all of our podcasts. We are, you know, we appreciate people listening and hope that, you know, you're picking some things up and learning. And I mean, we, you know, this is just what we enjoy doing. You look like you want to say something.
I was going to tell people how to contact us if they have questions or want to reach out to us or maybe even want to be a guest on the show.
Oh, you don't want me to play the commercial tonight?
I do.
You do?
You go right ahead.
So you want me to roll that beautiful bean footage? Yes. Oh, that's the wrong commercial. All right, here we go. No, that ain't the right one, is it? Ha ha ha.
Operator error.
Operator error. Wow. Wow, I can't believe that.
Are you ready now?
I'm ready.
We'll hit it.
Why don't you just go on and tell them?
Hey, Michael here from Christian
Hi, Mary Beth here from Christian Polititalk. And you can reach out to us at Christian Polititalk, that's PolititaLk, at gmail.com.
I don't know what's going on with the board tonight.
Operator error.
Everything says, no, 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 no. See, I know where this is. No. See, that's wrong. See, that was just me.
Right.
But we really do appreciate everybody joining us. And we look forward to everybody joining us next Thursday night. You know, remember Saturday. Remember everything that's going on in the world. And
be vigilant.
Everything we do. You know, keep everyone lifted in prayer. We pray for you guys. Hope that you pray for us. And we really appreciate you spending your time with us. And we hope you'll join us next week. Hope everybody has a good evening.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty?